right, we're back. Welcome to Embracing a Simpler Life podcast, and we are here to talk about great and wonderful things like why we haven't made a podcast for 2 months.
I'm Katie Bennett.
And I'm Mitch Bennett.
And we're glad you're here with us.
So why do we take 2 months off?
Well, it was 1 month, but go on.
Why did we take 1 month off? Answer, easy. Because Katie is pregnant. She's very unmotivated and semi-sick in the mornings. And, you know, the usual stuff that goes along with getting pregnant.
Tired, you know.
And that first trimester, which is almost over. So there you go. There's our breaking news. Now you know everything about us. Our life is pretty much complete with child number 4 on the way. And hopefully we will get to meet him or her sometime at the end of November, more than likely.
Yep. So, woohoo. This podcast episode is sponsored by Phonics Museum. What is Phonics Museum? It is an app for children ages 3 to 7, which will actually teach them to read with a multi-sensory approach in an engaging and fun environment. So we downloaded this app for our kids a few months ago and have been letting them explore and kind of walking through it with them. And it's pretty amazing because the whole thing is leveled so that children actually learn to read from a point of letter recognition all the way through reading simple early readers. It includes over 900 books, videos, games, lessons, and songs to instill a love for learning in our children. There is truly so much value in one single app. If you want to find out more, you can go to phonicsmuseum.com/EASL and you will get quite a few special bonuses and freebies as an Embracing a Simpler Life listener.
All right, and moving on here. This week, we're talking about making sense of suffering. Of course, we're doing so from the perspective of eternity.
The reality of suffering worldwide, whether it's oppression, terrorism, abuse, illness, poverty, is something that has always grieved me and affected me very deeply. We hear the stories, we see it in the news, we watch it unfold firsthand, sometimes in our own life or in the lives of our loved ones or those in our community. And I have to say, that is the thing more than anything else that makes me ache for Jesus to return, to long for this, what can seem like a nightmare, to be over, which is our time in this world, this suffering-bound world.
Well, suffering is, for one thing, universal. Everybody in their life is going to have suffering of one sort or another, and some people would say that they have more than others, but the fact remains, as this broken world continues on, there will be suffering, and God makes that very clear in His Word. And we're talking about that today, and how can we make that suffering, how can we go through our lives and look at that suffering in light of eternity?
So this is the thing that, the way that eternity has given me hope and renewed perspective and faith in the face of suffering. It's going to end so soon. We don't realize at the time because the days and moments seem long when we're in that place. But this life is going to be gone in a blink. It's going to be gone in a wingbeat of time, like a shadow that fades away. It seems long, but it's not. Eternity is where everything is going to be made right. It's where justice is going to happen. It's where Christ is going to be exalted. Redemption and restoration are going to come to fruition. That is going to be an ending. It's going to be a really, really long time. So much so that all of these years and moments will be completely eclipsed in the glorious presence of God as we are swept up into eternity.
I got a math degree in college, and eternity is infinitely times longer than our life. Whoa, mind blown.
John 16:20-22 says, Jesus talking, "Very truly I tell you, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. A woman giving birth to a child has pain because her time has come." Amen to that. "But when her baby when her baby is born, she forgets the anguish because of her joy that a child is born into the world. So with you, now is your time of grief. But I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. That is the promise that we live with. And any women who are listening who have had children kind of know the pain of childbirth. I think epidurals and things of that nature help us to circumnavigate that a little bit. But I will say it's still very painful. And with my most recent labor, I didn't get an epidural until I was about to pop out the baby. I'd already gone through the worst parts of labor, and it was horrible. It was so much worse than I ever could have imagined. That only happened not because I wanted a natural birth, but because I couldn't get to the hospital any faster than that. So the pain is so intense and real, but it's worth it. It's something that is just gone when it's gone. And it's going to be the same with all the suffering that we're experiencing now on this earth.
So here's an analogy for you. I have it on very good authority, because I have three kids, that if my kids could, they would never work. They would never eat healthy food. They would only eat their candy and their favorite junk food. They would never, ever go to school or do anything to make themselves smarter. And all of that can be really fun and really good on the short term. However, I also know that as a parent, I have to see them through, that they embrace growth and make sure that they're putting the right things in their body so that they can become stronger, putting the right things in their mind so that they can become smarter and wiser, and also working hard so that they can provide for their family when they have one, or so that they can become contributing members of society. And we as parents, even though we don't want our kids to suffer, we know that part of all of that process is going to be some suffering. They're going to have to do some hard things. They have to eat. They have to do all the things we just talked about. In the same way, God does not want us to suffer, but He knows that as part of our growth and part of us, as part of our getting to know Him more intimately and becoming a relationship that's super deep, we're going to have sufferings in our lives.
So that suffering actually is the thing that refines us, that causes us to be completely dependent on Him, to completely lay down our lives and put our hope in what is to come and not in what this world has to offer. It serves purposes that actually are going to lay up treasures for us in heaven as we persevere in the midst of trials and difficulties and as we choose faith and trust. So it's actually hard to understand, but like James, the book of James chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When we get a terrible diagnosis that might mean the end of our life is near, or something that just seems completely unthinkable, God sees a picture that's bigger than this life. If you zoom out and say this life in the world is not where my hope is, it's not what matters. But what matters is faith, hope, love, and we have an opportunity to exercise these things in the midst of those difficult trials that will come. We're all expected to die.
Except for the two guys that didn't die.
Whoa. A little Bible trivia 101. There are two people in Scripture that did not die. God took them to heaven alive.
All right. So now let's look specifically at the three fruits we want to talk about today of suffering. And number one, we've already hinted at, we've already talked about, is transformation. Suffering is something that undoes us in a way that nothing else could. It's something that makes us soft and moldable, just like clay. That's what Jesus talks about. And it shows our deep, deep need for healing and redemption.
Yeah, it strips us of our self-sufficiency. I know it has for me. And as we said, it drives us to complete dependence on God. That can't be underestimated in its value. It's the only way that we learn the meaning of 2 Corinthians 12:9, where Jesus told Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Have you ever experienced weakness where you feel like you've felt His grace?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't work out for like 2 weeks one time, and it was rough. Could hardly open a jar of pickles.
I've had a few situations in my life that have driven me to this point, and one of them has definitely been a period of extreme sleep deprivation with our third child. She had an ear infection, but we had no idea. So we were going for a few weeks on no sleep. There weren't, I don't know. Maybe I was in a daze. Maybe I should have realized it, but I didn't. With two other really young children, Mitch was very busy. There were no breaks or rest opportunities. It's stressful when you have a lot of little kids. And people actually, it's a form of torture to not let someone sleep. Sometimes that is used as a form of torture in like prisoner war camps. I don't know.
Yeah, way to compare yourself to prisoners of war.
It's like a psychological torture.
Email Katie Bennett.
No. I'm just saying this because I think a lot of people listening might be parents and might be able to relate to this on some level, to say that is something that really does drive you to a point of weakness where you have to cry out to the Lord. And I have experienced that. And it's hard. It's hard to be that completely empty and weak, but yet He sustains you somehow. I'm here today. I made it. I survived by His grace only. And I know that.
The second fruit of suffering is hope. Without suffering, we get cozy with our life on earth. And without the harsh reminder that that provides, we can become content and that we can do everything by ourselves. So why do we need anything else? And sometimes we even get cozy enough that we get cozy in our sin. We're sinning daily, and yet we're not concerned about it. But with a little bit of suffering, that sometimes can point our hearts and our minds and our gaze and our hope on God, and specifically eternity. And it teaches us to pray and desire God's intimate relationship. And we have hope for the things that are eternal.
So what are some examples of suffering? Things that some of you might have walked through. Maybe your child was diagnosed with a life-altering illness. Maybe you lost your child. Maybe your spouse died unexpectedly, or maybe you have chronic pain or some kind of unending health condition where there's not a lot of hope for that to get better in this lifetime. Maybe it's economic, or it has to do with your employment, or maybe you've been abandoned by someone. I don't know what this could look like for you, but there are so many different forms that suffering takes, and it can completely ruin what we wanted from this life, what we were longing for, that beautiful family, watching our children grow up, health, wealth, enjoyment, ease. That picture can be ripped away from us. And we can never have the hope of getting it back in this lifetime. That's really difficult. And it's something that requires grieving. But for the believer, that's not the end. And I think this is where the fruit of hope comes in, because we have a hope that is sure, that is steadfast, that is enduring, and it is the hope of heaven. It is the hope that this life isn't the end-all be-all, so if it doesn't go the way we want it, it's okay. It's really not such a great loss after all, because we have so much more available to us in Christ right now and forever. Like we read in James 1, we get to become mature and complete as we learn to fix our gaze on what is to come.
You talked about heaven, and heaven is an awesome place. Listen to this description you find in Revelation 21. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And you can imagine that something prepared by God for His bride is going to be pretty, pretty awesome. If He can create this earth, He can create something that's beyond our wildest dreams. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and He will dwell with them. They will be His people, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away."
That is our hope. No matter what we're going through in this lifetime, if we persevere, if we endure, if we trust in Christ for our salvation, this is going to be our eternal reality, our firm hope. Turning the corner from this life of suffering to one of redemption and glory through Jesus will ultimately highlight God's character and mercy in a way nothing else could. All of this suffering is going to serve a purpose, even though we might not be able to even begin to conceive of it in this lifetime. We can trust that God is good and that He loves us.
There's no doubt in my mind that God loves us. Fruit, number three, future rewards. What does that mean, KB?
I thought this was so interesting as I was reading the Bible with this mentality of what does it look like to live an eternally significant life right now? And specifically, I studied the Bible for examples of how we can store up treasures in heaven, because this is the joy, the joyful life that God has called us to, that we get to actually know that we will be rewarded when we follow Him. That's faith, that there is actually a trade-off here, and we make it now because we believe God for His unseen promises. So one of the things that I saw quite often in Scripture was that, and I've mentioned this, you've heard me mention this repeatedly throughout this podcast, but through persevering in trials, we will be rewarded up eternally, and God will be glorified through our trust in Him. So there's really a huge opportunity in the midst of personal suffering. And I think people really pay attention to that. A dear friend of mine went through a horrible loss of an infant about midway through her pregnancy. And she posted on social media to let everybody know what had happened, but just expressed such trust in the Lord. And I think it really touched people in a way that nothing else could, because she had walked through something so sad and was able to trust God anyway.
Have you ever heard somebody's story that's so amazing because they went through this terrible time of suffering and then God redeemed them in some way, or He brought them back closer and more intimate with Him? That's testimony right there to the fact that suffering can bring things that are good and hopefully bring others to Christ.
I'm very suffering averse. I walk very slowly around our house and in darkness. I just don't take risks. So yeah, even though I know all these truths, I really have to remind myself of them, because it's not what I want. I want, you know, my human nature wants the easy, perfect life. But that's not reality.
No, it's not reality. Sometimes I want the tough things, but in the microsecond side, definitely do not want the tough things. I want the easy things, and I want to be comfortable too.
Yeah.
No 100% cotton t-shirts for me.
But you know, God loves us too much to give us what we want, because He ultimately knows what is best, not for our life on this earth, but for our eternal life.
Absolutely. And that's what you got to keep in mind. God does know what's best, and He is the ultimate parent, way better parent than we'll ever be. And He knows already what suffering we'll be going through. And the whole time that we're going through that suffering, He's going to be right there with us. And I just pray that if you have any of those moments, that you not only know that, but that you utilize that.
Yep. And He has suffered. He is the suffering Savior. It's just unbelievable, because we can't comprehend who He is, but with His help, He gives us little glimpses into His holiness and might and power and love.
He came to earth to suffer. Just the other day, the kids were joking about saying crucifixion or crucified, or I'm going to crucify something. And just thinking about, I was talking with them about how awful that form of death was, and how truly terrible and sickening that whole experience is, and that Jesus would come to earth knowing that He was going to have to go through that, not only carrying the death of Himself, but carrying the sins of the entire world on His shoulders. And many people didn't even make it to the cross alive, and there He hung with so much weight on his shoulders. It's absolutely amazing the amount of suffering that he went through as a human.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish. Yeah, that's John 3:16. I also wanted to read 2 Corinthians 4:17-18. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This was written by Christ followers that were suffering because they were sharing the gospel in unfriendly places. It was written by Paul. And you see right here so clearly, these troubles, we don't think this, but they are light and momentary. That is what they are in the scope of eternity. And what are they doing for us? Achieving an eternal glory. There is a result that will make every hard thing worth it.
When we know that life is eternally short compared to eternity, mind blown, we can make peace with suffering. As we endure each moment, we can cling to the hope that it will one day be eclipsed by God's glory. And though everything that we do seems like it takes a really long time, it's all actually very short compared to eternity.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us for this episode of the Embracing a Simpler Life podcast. We are so glad to be back. And thank you to our sponsor, Phonics Museum. It is really such a blessing to have this episode sponsored because it frees us up to spend more time investing in the podcast. So we are grateful to them. And the nice thing is Phonics Museum takes the stress and guesswork out of teaching children to read because it combines fun storytelling with a multi-sensory approach. And the best part is that children can do it all on their own. It doesn't require parent help, and it walks them through step by step the blocks that it takes to start from not even recognizing letters to actually reading sentences. It's fun because the kids get to earn trophies and unlock new activities, and there are just so many different things for them to experience. There's actually a live teacher in the app who is teaching them how to make the sounds and understand the phonics behind it all. So it's really cool. If you would like to find out more, go to phonicsmuseum.com/EASL and you will get some great bonuses. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.